Yeah, I mean, funny stories.
Yeah.
You know, like when we found out that the puppet house had been raided.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were one of the puppet house was supposed to be the first. They were supposed to come out first. And we had, I think we had quadrant one. And we were supposed to go, and freaking George Bush Sr. was going into the hospital in our quadrant, right? And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, right. And it's majority people of color, and like, this is going to be fun. And the puppet house got rich, but, like, I was doing Castico, and I had told the squad, like, all right, you know, here's some, okay, lesson learned. This is stupid. This is, like, totally stupid. Here's the code, right? When I put my hand in my hair, that means go. And if I put my hand in my back pocket, that means stop. We got our code, right? Right? And so, don't go. And so, me and my communications person, who I will not name because I don't know what he wants, if he wants public attention around this. But my communications person, each tactical person was working with a communications, a comms person.
So, that's right. I did comm, yeah.
You did comm?
I was doing comm, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my comm person, or the person I was working with, my comm person, he is my comm person, but the person I was doing comm with, he got word that, because I think we were supposed to go, like, right after the puppets came out, you know? And
right.
He got word that there had been a raid. And so he's like, you know, there's been a raid. And we're standing on some kind of incline, and we see all these cops on bikes, which I always thought was the most ridiculous shit ever, like organizing themselves. I know how the Philly cops be on bikes and stuff. But they were organizing their own bike brigade, you know, and everybody, it was like everybody's getting in order, getting in position. And my comms person is like, puppet house got raided. I was like, what? No, check that out. Check that out. Like, what? You know, and he's like, 70 people arrested. I'm like, no. Check that out further. Check that out. Is that rumor? What's up? Like, what's up? What? And so the flank squad's like looking at me, you know, like, there's a time, what's going on? There's a time, we're ready to go. We want to wreak havoc in the city of Philly. And the Republicans on the bus, you know, what's up? He communicates back, no, it's really true. They got raided, 70 people arrested. And we don't know what to do next. There's no communication. Communication's getting shut down. We don't know what to do next. And I'm like, oh, fuck, oh, shit. And I put my hand in my hair because, like, that's what I do.
Oh.
And they take off. And I'm like, oh, no. I take off after them. I put my hand in my back pockets and jump it up and down. Stop. Like, so ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
It was so ridiculous. So that little action that the cops did just kind of got us. We didn't, you know, we did not move according to plan. And so, you know, again, lessons learned or lessons reinforced. It's like, you know, you gotta be flexible, right? So you have all these great plans and, you know, shit changes. And if you can't, I always say, like, you know, revolution is like jazz. You know what I mean? It's like, you better be spontaneous with yours or else improv, or else you're done. And so, like, it took us a minute. We kind of wandered about, like, what to do now, you know? And then I think just out of sheer boredom, it wasn't just that simple. That's the human part of it. The human part of it is we were bored out of our skull, and it was hot, and we were wandering the streets of Philly in our quadrant, and there were no cops around. And we had stuff. You know, we had piano wire. We had tack. We had shit. So it's like, now why aren't we using this? It was like, yeah, let's just record. And we started, and other Black Bloc had already come through and done their thing, you know. Every place we arrived, Black Bloc had already beat us to it. Okay, other people had this idea, too. And so before long, you know, people were just kind of doing havoc. And it wasn't necessarily going according to, I don't know what other affinity groups had planned, but, you know, it totally didn't go along. We totally had a different plan. And yet, you know, we were able to, you know, do a lot of what we had come to do. So we definitely stopped various movement and, you know, that was fun. That was good. That was good. It was fun. It really was fun.
Yeah. It's inspiring.
Watching the Republicans on the bus was the best. Like, we got to the bus, they were like,
they were scared of you, huh?
They were scared. And this one cop, and one of our Flying Scout squad teams, a woman who you know, whose name I won't say, was doing her thing, her and somebody else, and the cop was like, "You're gonna get arrested. You better put that down. You're gonna get arrested. And she was like, "Yeah, come on." The piano wired it up and kept it moving. The cop was like unable to chase them because he couldn't move and he was slow. And they were just like, they teased him for a bit and then they did their thing and kept it moving. It was a day of wildness, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. I just thought that we were going to keep having actions like that, but it kind of died out a bit, the big convergences, which, I mean, maybe it wasn't tremendously strategic to just always have these big convergences, but I was looking forward to maybe, like, refining our skills in those things and gaining ground. But I remember that day I was doing comm and I was at this intersection that I was with a group of people that locked down on the on-ramp on the highway that went down to where the convention was happening, and they successfully held it for a few hours, and I was there, and I remember when you all came, when the Flying Squad came, and you were asking me where they were because you couldn't see them, and I was so, like, it's all about, like, the codes and everything, and, like, I was so afraid of pointing, and of course the police knew they were there, but I was like, I was sort of trying to gesture with my little finger, like, they're over there. And you were like, where are they?
And then finally, I was like, Flying Squad.
Oh, my God. Did they leave that spot without you or something? Or?
No. I told you, I was on hold. I was like, oh, shit, go ahead. You go. I'll catch you.
Oh, God. I'm almost 40 myself. Oh, God. Wow.
So I remember one person, Chris, you know, we ended up, I don't know where, but we ended up kind of in this crowd, and Chris was all hyped. And Chris was like, I'm going to take this dumpster. I was like, no, don't do this now. And he was like, no, I'm going to take this dumpster. Why not? Blah, blah. I was like, stop arguing with me. I'm tactical. I'm the fucking leader. And he was like, you know, Why can't I do it? It doesn't make sense. I'm like, because it doesn't feel safe to me. It's not good. It doesn't feel right. We're too insular, da-da-da-da. We don't know who's around us. No, I don't suggest we do that. And he kept arguing with me. I was like, fuck it, Chris. Do it. Do whatever you want. And so he took it. He took the dumpster. He turned the dumpster over, right? And, like, some tie-dye, hippie-looking guy, a cop, nabbed him immediately. And then another comrade, who I don't know if he wants to be identified because he didn't get locked up, he's, like, trying to unarrest him. I'm like, no, let's go. We got to go. Hey, Chris, I love you. I'll be working for you from the outside.
Oh,
I told you, I was here.
Oh,
but
shit,
he did such great work inside.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that he was there. I remember another comrade, like we had, who you know, part of SLAM, one of our more paranoid members, you know, you know, the cops were watching us, right? You know, I mean, like, the cops have been watching all of us, particularly those of us who have been part of the organizing crew. Like, you know, there were pictures, and they would be standing outside taking pictures when we go into meetings and that sort of shit, right? But when folks arrived, I think a lot of these particular comrades were, they were staying in a church. I don't know if you know this story. I'm trying not to give up individual identities. So they were staying in a church, and, you know, the cops were, like, staying across the street from them and making no secrets that they were being watched. I mean, that's, you know, part of an intimidation tactic, right? So they let you know they're watching you. And so they would, like, sit in the window with binoculars and shit like that, you know. And then some of us were staying at someone's house, and she had a pretty, she lived in a pretty middle-class neighborhood, and, you know, helicopters were always hovering, and, you know, they were clearly watching us, right? And, but anyway, he found out, I mean, he understood that he was being watched, that they were being watched. And so, you know, we had these little, I still have these, we had these little laminated, maps of the quadrant, you know?
Yeah, I have mine, yeah.
You have yours? All right. Those, you should blow those up. Those were the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So blow those up for the, I know, I love mine too. Blow them up for the show or something.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool. So, you know, but everybody didn't have laminated ones. Some people had, like, just, we had also made copies. So some people had stuff in, you know, on paper. And so, and there were notes and things like that. And so he found out that, you know, he assumed, rightfully so, that they were being watched. And so he started eating his paper.
Oh, the laminated one? Oh,
yeah,
God.
The laminated one, the paper one. And fucking shit notes down the toilet. You know, someone contacted me. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, can you imagine?
I ate some phone numbers.
This is what I'm saying. Being like, you know, how old were you then?
26.
Okay, so you were 26. Some folks were a little younger than you, being in, like, some a little older. But, you know, being in this kind of, like, high-pressured environment and having the police, like, you know, really, really intimidating you, you know. You know, that's scary. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it was really, I don't know, I think it was a real coming of age. I think for all of us, you know, not just the young ones, but the older ones too. It was pretty scary. It was pretty good. Because it taught us a lot, you know, about, like, the state and about what the state was capable of and blah, blah, blah. And, like, hats off to everybody for still saying, I don't care. This is still relevant. And, like, I'm going to do this anyway. You know? Mm-hmm. Hats off to those parents who were freaking out. But for the most part, a lot of the parents did not say to their kids, like, as I recall, the ones I talked to, like, you did something wrong. Like, you know, the parents that I remember having communication with just wanted their kids to be okay. They might have wanted their kids to, like, go ahead and cop a plea, come home. But they didn't say to the kids, like, shame on you. You know, the ones, again, I could say the majority of the ones that I talked to did not do that. I think it's pretty powerful. So
that's great.
Yeah. So those are my stories. I think I probably have more, but I have talked you and me and anybody listening into serious, like, sleep mode now.
No, I love it. I'm just thrilled we got to get to cover so much ground, you know?
Let me just say this last thing. Now, do you remember when we got back to Slam? We had them chained.
Do you mean when people were really pissed at us for, like, why did you want to do this thing in Philly and now we're so behind on everything?
And we had in the back office, like, every piece of evidence possible.
Oh.
We had chains and piano wire and other shit in the back office of the
year. Yeah, right. Oh, my God. I'm student government. And they're... Oh, my God. I remember being afraid they would raid our office.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was the level of fear.
And the level of fear, and we had all of the evidence.
You should have raided. What were they thinking?
I know.
I mean, the New York Red Squad was already after us.
I know.
Jeez.
Wow. I know. And people were like, we got to get rid of this. We, you know, it was pretty hectic. And I agreed. I'm like, why do we have all this evidence?
Oh, my God.
I think I had, like, handcuff keys. Lovely.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think I'm really excited about what, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now looks like with, you know, from Kazembe to you to, you know, I don't know, Liam to everybody, mm-hmm. Michelle, everybody, Sandra, Lenina doing, Chris, everybody doing something that is really pushing boundaries. And also, like, the passion that we had. And I hope all this is, all this probably don't need to be in the interview, but the passion that we have is so, so raw and so honest. And it really, really, really is it makes me so proud and so honored, Jed, to be, like, connected and part of y'all, you know, part of us.
Yeah.
We were fabulous, you know?
Yeah.
And we still are.
Yeah.